We're here at Jacob's Piano with so many stars, I don't even know where to start. The main star, of course, is the Horowitz Piano, which is going on tour and has been at Jacob's Music now for several weeks. And today, we are privileged to have two artists, one classical, one jazz, on Crossover. And I'd like to welcome to Crossover Svetlana Smolina.
Thank you, Joe. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's just a joy to hear you play. You have quite a background and you have been making a name for yourself, but how does it feel to play this piano?
I feel really blessed because it was the piano that inspired Horowitz for a span over probably 50 years, and it was everything for him. It was present for his marriage to Wanda, and he took it on his famous Return to Russia concert.
Tour, yes.
After 61 year break, I've been in
Which
Russia.
Which was quite so a spectacular thing.
Absolutely. So, yeah, and he was getting, inspired by the sound of it, he made this piano sing as nobody else could.
Also, did he have anything done to the interior of it, the mechanism? Were there things that were done to perhaps heighten the brilliance of sound or something like that? Do you know anything about that? Or do you just play and feel transported?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm not sure what... I'm sure that he had something special done to this piano,
yes,
because it definitely the voicing feels like nothing else ever in the world can sing and produce such a palatable, rich sounds, and give so many dimensions of sound as this piano. And so... Yeah, every second, every note on this piano, it feels like a gift of life. And every time I touch it, this is the first time I'm playing this on the concerts, and I just wish it would never end.
Well, it's going to be...
this experience.
Is it going back to Russia? Are you aware of that anymore on tour?
I'm not sure.
No. Well... tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, for our audience, not only does she play beautifully, but she's a knockout, really. Beautiful woman and a beautiful artist. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I came from Russia and came to this country in 1995 to study with Alexander Turadze. He was my beloved teacher, whose actually birthday is today. I'm just going to call him right after. And then I studied, and I went back to Europe. I studied in Brussels, and then I came back to this country again and did my doctoral studies at the University of Michigan. I studied in Oberlin with Monique Defil, Arthur Green, Virginia Marx, Evgeny Mogilevsky. Those are some of my teachers' names.
Yes.
And Natalia Fish in Russia. And right now I reside in Manhattan, and I also work as artist in residence at Westchester University School of Music in Pennsylvania.
In Pennsylvania. Now, what about touring? Do you do any touring at all?
Oh, yes. I have very, very extensive tour this summer. I have 5 festivals coming up. I'm going to be on piano faculty in Philadelphia Festival and play about 4 concerts with principals of the orchestra, as well as some solo things. And I'm going to 2 festivals in California, 1 in San Diego, 1 in L.A. I'm going to play in Disney Hall and in Los Angeles County Art Museum. And after that, I'm going to be playing concerts on Summit Piano Festivals in New York.
Now, do you
and
have a...
then to Salzburg.
I'm sorry. Oh, and then to Salzburg.
Yes,
oh, incidentally, that's the icing on the cake.
Yeah.
How wonderful.
Yes.
When you have... I've interviewed many artists, of course, and especially pianists. Many times they just... they call you in for a concerto or something like that to be a guest soloist. Now, when you prepare a recital, a complete recital, are you ready to just, at a moment's notice, go on and say, okay, I'm ready?
Yes, I've been called many times, several times I replaced, and I was called on short notice, sometimes 1 day notice, half a day notice, so 1 hour notice.
How do you keep it fresh? How do you, what do you work on? I mean, you work on everything, but there's always something in the forefront, isn't there?
Yeah, it's, I mean, music never stops inside of you. Being an artist is a constant search, constantly trying to invent inspiration in and recreate what composer wrote with his notes, which are his, you know, it's extension of his soul.
His soul, of course.
For artists, I don't think we ever stop searching, and we're constantly being in this creative process of performing, even with, when we don't perform on stage. So it's kind of natural, I think, to be able to, when you ask to play, you just go and play.
Well, it doesn't exactly work that way, and I'm sure you have to work on how do you feel about it? How do you feel, for instance, Rachmaninoff? I mean, he had a very, very, what, he had a stretch of a 12th or something?
Yeah, C to A, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Unbelievable. How do you like playing Rachmaninoff?
I love, and actually, that's on this piano, I've been lucky to play his rarely performed piece, Rachmaninoff's first piano sonata. And actually, Rachmaninoff, since childhood, was my favorite composer. I play all of his concertos, and he was actually also one of the best friends with Vladimir Horowitz, and they played together.
Yes.
Two pianos, four hands.
Oh, they did play together. Oh,
yes, and we don't have recordings of them playing two pianos.
Oh, my heavens, that must have been astounding.
They played both suites and symphonic dances and concerts.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. So what are your plans? I mean, you live in New York City, and are you in the States for good?
Right now, yeah, I think so. I'm a citizen. And
you're a citizen.
Yeah, I love this country. I love the opportunities that it presents. And I think it's absolutely multidimensional, multicultural country ever. existing in this world.
That's,
I love it.
That's wonderful to hear that. What about the music scene? What about the future of classical music as an artist, of touring? I know years ago they used to do community concerts, and you would have a series of concerts to kind of go through. And then, I mean, is there a profession out there that is going to be rewarding to the artist now?
You mean,
in terms of not only ability, but do people feel the same way about coming to concerts? What with the internet and with television, how is it when you perform in an actual concert hall? Do you have a big turnout? Are people interested?
Nothing can be compared with live performance. I think any recording, even the greatest one, certainly still missing this aura of live performance.
Yeah,
connection between the listener and performer.
Yes. Well, that's good news because, you know, everyone's talking about what's going to happen to our great classical music and our audiences and our performances. And it's wonderful to hear from an artist who is active and traveling all over that there are audiences and they still love to come.
Yes, yes. Although, of course, now internet is probably one of the fastest way to be recognized even now. A lot of just young artists, and they just put as much material as they have, as they can, on the internet to be heard and to be known.
And for anyone who wants to see Svetlana and hear Svetlana, you can go to iTunes, is that right? Are you on?
Yes, I have album.
You have on the YouTube,
on,
is that right?
Yes, and they'll have more recordings coming from the summer festivals as well.
Wonderful. We look forward to seeing you and to hearing you. Svetlana, thank you so much, and a joy to hear you play the Horowitz piano.
Thank you, Joe. It's my honor and pleasure.
Thanks. Well, little did we know when we came to Jacob's Music to discuss the Horowitz piano with someone that worked there, that person is quite an artist in his own right. That's Andy Kahn, and welcome to Crossover, Andy.
Well, it's my honor and pleasure to be here.
My jaw is still dropping because you play so beautifully. You are a jazz pianist, and have yet to be discovered even more than you are now. You've had a career, of course, that was fairly successful years ago, and now you're here as resident artist at Jacobs, and you are also performing locally. Is that right?
I am, and it's great to be back performing after a long hiatus.
Well, it never goes away, does it?
No, it doesn't. Yeah. But after playing at home for so many years, I thought it was time to get back on the stage.
Well, tell us a little bit about how did you start? Did you study music formally? Did you go to school to study?
I rejected most of the lessons my parents wanted me to have, very foolishly, of course. But, you know, as a young person, I knew more than my parents and, of course, knew more than my teachers.
Well, of course.
Of course.
Of course.
So they took me, as I say, to many teachers and many lessons, and I just rejected them because I really wanted to play by ear. And then I found out years later in my late teens, as I started to write arrangements in a recording studio for orchestrations, for string sections and horn sections, that I didn't know very much about reading and writing music, only what I heard in my head. So
in other words, you were doing this without any real
training. Until about 18.
Did you discover that you could do this just kind of gradually?
Well, I knew that I could play. I knew that I was given a wonderful gift of being able to hear something. I mean, that was evidenced by when I was 2 and 3 years old, I'd hear something on the TV and then go to the piano and play
it,
which, of course,
it, yeah.
You know, made my grandmother and grandfather and parents very, very happy.
Well, the melody's fine, but all the harmonies that you do
are
just fantastic.
There's a picture of me at the age of 7 months with actually both hands on the piano, and I said to my parents, well, that should have said something to you right there. I wasn't picking out one note, so...
Well, exactly, because what you have played for us on the piano, which is we'll talk about in just a moment, but I was so taken with the fact that you're playing old standards with very, very new harmonies. I mean, you're very current. It's always amazes me as a classical musician, improvisation in general, and I admire the jazz artists that do that. I just think it's amazing. They should be teaching that, I think, to classical musicians, but it's a whole other genre. You have updated standards, and I love to hear that, and this is a gift, and you have been a secret, I think. You've got to come back out into the world and share that with all of us.
I wasn't a secret maybe a quarter of a century ago, but...
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I was in the recording business. I had a recording studio in Philadelphia, and I got involved in producing records and writing arrangements and writing songs for record companies, especially during, here in Philadelphia, one of the types of music that was being produced a lot in Philadelphia was during the disco dancing days, mm-hmm. Of the 1970s. So I got very involved in that in my recording studio, and that was a big thing for Philadelphia, that whole The Sound of Philadelphia genre of music. And not long after that, I mean, I was very successful. I wrote a song that was an international disco record called Hot Shot by a local Philadelphia artist named Karen Young. Unfortunately, is deceased. And I wrote it in collaboration with a DJ in a nightclub who also is deceased at this point. So I'm sort of like the surviving member of that trio. That was in 1978, and not long after that, I kind of decided to do something completely different. I was very lucky to be very successful with it, and decided to drop out of the music scene for a while. I just felt I needed to do that. I needed to change my life. Those nights, it being all night in the nightclubs and all the things that went on in those days, were pretty heady days, and I needed to change my life, and I did. And unfortunately, it meant I didn't have to, but I chose to stop performing. And it wasn't until about 3 or 4 years ago that I decided to put it back together. I didn't stop playing, I must tell you that. I played all the time at home. And I would do a benefit concert, a jazz concert, once or twice a year just to come out and make sure that I could still do it. But for the most part, I took a back seat and disappeared for about 20 some years, and now I'm loving being back.
Well, it took a little while. Somebody was shaking their finger at you and said, "I dare you to give me up," mm-hmm. And you couldn't, and you came back. And how lucky we are! But it's wonderful to find. Now, how did you feel playing the Horowitz piano? What did that generally? I mean, I'm going to say something. I'm not condescending about it, but you know, when you're playing pop and jazz and so on and so forth, you've played on every conceivable kind of piano.
Correct.
So does it really, really matter that much? Is the instrument that important?
The instrument, this particular instrument, is so full of dynamics in itself, by itself, that one of the things that that I know about the piano, and one of the things that Horwitz went for and strived for in this particular instrument, and why he referred to it as his friend and wanted it to travel with him, was the action and the touch on the piano was made to be very, very light. And in so doing, you can't be a faker on this piano. Like if you just rest your hand on a key, it sounds. So it's with a very light action. You really have to know what you're doing on it. So it's a great challenge, and it constantly is saying to you, you want to get your finger off of this key, because if this is not the note that you want to play, I'm going to sound.
Exactly.
It's very revealing. Maybe that's the word. That's the word I was looking for. So therefore it's a great inspiration to be technically at the top of your game when you play this piano. Ergo Horwitz. I mean, that's...
Well, the thing that I always remember about Horwitz is the amazing left hand. I mean, that you know, you could just jaw-dropping.
Dazzling.
You know, his technique. And even when you were playing this, I felt that there was a very strong bass component there, which had the same quality of sound, believe it or not, as the classical performance.
I couldn't agree with you more.
It's really amazing.
I mean, the name of your show is Crossover. That's a true crossover of the two
musical
genres.
It is really incredible that you have that. So the instrument speaks.
And it inspires you. Having a bass with that kind of resonance, it's like this is like the space shuttle here.
Well, it's daunting in a way.
It is, and it's very, and it constantly, I find when I'm playing an instrument like of this quality and this particular instrument, it's laughing at me all the time and always challenging me to do it better, saying, I can play this, can you?
I think that's wonderfully said.
Today I played T for Two on Horwitz, the Horwitz Piano CD 503, and one of the reasons why I selected that particular song to play, in addition to some of the other ones, is because there's really, that is sort of the glue and the tie-in between Vladimir Horwitz and jazz, if there ever was a connection. It is a very, very fabled and well-circulated story that Horwitz was quite mesmerized by the jazz pianist Art Tatum, and that we also understand that even the conductor Toscanini would go, and they would go to Harlem jazz clubs and hear Art Tatum play.
Who was amazing.
Who was just completely amazing. I mean, if there was a Vladimir Horwitz of the jazz piano, we clearly would have to put Art Tatum at the top of the list of either one or two.
I mean, the list is about two.
I mean, he was just so extraordinary. And Vladimir Horwitz was very, very, very much taken by the technical wizardry or the technical abilities, not mm-hmm. wizardry, but the technical abilities of this jazz pianist. And he particularly was blown away, so to speak, by Art Tatum's singular rendition that he had performed many times of the Vince Heumann's Irving Caesar standard from 1925, T for Two. And when he played T for Two in one of the clubs one night, and Horwitz was just completely floored by it, he went up to Art Tatum.
And Wasn't it his left hand? He was completely
floored.
He just
couldn't get over what was happening. And he was, you know, and he'd heard it before, but this particular rendition just had completely knocked him out. And Art Tatum had a sort of a framework of the way he played it. I mean, it was an arrangement that he had done, but of course every time he played it being jazz, it was different. He went up to Art Tatum and said to him, this was just an unbelievable rendition of T for Two, and I would love very, very much to see the music on it. And Art Tatum looked at him and said, oh, I was just improvising.
You mean Horwitz really didn't realize he was improvising?
He was sure that this was from the music.
And he said, how did you? Did he say, how did you do that?
I don't really. I would. Yeah. I would love to have been there and heard the rest of that conversation.
It's so interesting because T for Two is kind of legendary. Also, Shostakovich, who played for movies as well. You know, he played piano and he did all kinds of stuff to make money. But he did an arrangement of Tea for Two, and they called it the Tahiti Trot. He thought it was jazz because in those years, whatever was allowed into Russia at that time musically in terms of jazz was very, very limited. Right. So his whole concept of jazz. But there's something, I bet Horowitz almost... Even it was a familiar story to him as well.
I would think so.
Yeah,
it appealed to him and it rang sort of true.
Yes,
in him.
Yeah.
And that was what ended up happening is that Horowitz was so taken by this that he came up with his own rendition of Tea for Two, which is actually you see him playing it in a very, very brief excerpt in it in the documentary Horowitz, The Last Romantic. Uh-huh. And there actually is Vladimir Horowitz sitting on this piano, sitting on CD 503 in his townhouse in New York, playing it for a small group of guests in the house. And he starts it, and then he starts to smile and laugh. And then he stops, and then he laughs, and then he starts it again, and he starts
Well, did he improvise?
He tried to improvise, and of course, anyone who heard it said that he was terrible.
Oh, my goodness.
It was awful. They said it was terrible. But he didn't care. I mean, he just loved...
I think he was so taken with the artistry. He had no... He wasn't afraid.
Exactly.
His ego wasn't in the way at all. He just was humbled by listening to Horowitz.
Absolutely. And if there was ever a connection between Horowitz and jazz or between Horowitz and Tatum...
And that's where...
This was it. It was really the song. This is the reason why I wanted to perform that today.
Yeah.
And of course, here Horowitz had played Tea for Two on the very piano that I played it for on... played
which was
for
quite
you
an
today.
Experience for you. Yeah. And also, I knowing jazz and knowing how jazz artists think... You don't even remember what you did today as well, because I think, you know, it is improvisation. It's right there on the spot, and you get those ideas. I guess, as you say, you have a framework, but it's always new every time.
Of course. And, of course, we have the chords as a framework, but I even had in my idea that at one point I was going to do something with stride
piano. Well, I think you avoided one key also because it was a little out of tune.
Exactly.
We had a very exciting experience today.
There was one, this C C5 above middle C. I think it's C5. It was clearly had got knocked out, I think, by Svetlana, probably.
Well, what happened was we couldn't find a tuning key. And of course, that's... So there's all kinds of hidden things that go on in live interviews. Well, I think we're delighted to have you. And I was so thrilled when we decided to do the show. I said, they said, we have someone that plays jazz. I said, well, that's perfect because WRTI is a classical and jazz station. And we... We cross over the lines of the demarcation, because it's not that the music is crossover, it's that all things come from the same place. And that's what it's all about. And this was a delight. And I'm so glad that I had a chance to speak with you, and we will certainly come. I hope that you will have another one of these events in the future.
Well, we'll have an event hopefully like that. I perform in the recital hall at Jacob's Music myself about every second or third month. I'll do an event, and I promise you I will let you know.
Please let us know, and I know we have other things that you do as well now, so you're playing the piano, and that's all that matters, and a pleasure to have you here.
It's been my pleasure and my honor to be here.
Thanks, Andy.
Thanks.
Great.